Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Texts 2 and 3. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So I'll read text 2 first. Sarvasu nam chavayoscha. No, I'll just read it. Tannase paramayane ashvinor oshadhinam cha grano moda pramodayaha. His two nostrils are the generating centers of our breathing and of all other airs. His smelling powers generate the Ashwini Kumar demigods and all kinds of medicinal herbs. And his breathing energies produce different kinds of fragrance. And text 3. Rupanam Tejasam Chakshuhu Divaha Suryasya Cha Akshini Karnau Disham Cha Tirthanam Shrotram Akasha Shabdayoho Rupanam Tejasam Chakshur Diva Suryasya Chakshini Karnau Disham Chatirthanam Shrotram Akasha Shabdayoho Rupanam Tejasam Chakshur Diva Suryasya Chakshini Karnau Disham Chatirthanam Shrotram Akasha Shabdayoho. Ladies,
Rupanam Tejasam Chakshur Diva Suryasya Chakshini Karnam Disham Chatirthanam
rupanam, for all kinds of forms. Tejasam, of all that is illuminating. Chakshuhu, the eyes. Divaha, that which glitters. Suryasya, of the sun. Cha, also. Akshini, the eyeballs. Karnau, the ears. Disham, of all directions. Cha, and. Tirthanam, receptacles of all the Vedas. Shrotram, the sense of hearing. Akasha, the sky. Shabdayoho, of all sounds. His eyes are the generating centers of all kinds of forms, and they glitter and illuminate. His eyeballs are like the sun and the heavenly planets. His ears hear from all sides and are receptacles for all the Vedas. And his sense of hearing is the generating center of the sky and of all kinds of sound. Purport, the word Tirthanam is sometimes interpreted to mean the places of pilgrimage, but Srila Jiva Goswami says that here it means the receptacles of the transcendental Vedic knowledge. The propounders of the Vedic knowledge are also known as Tirthas. Om Agyanatimi Randhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manum Api Shatiputram Atrasvarupam Rupam Tasya Grajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Atav Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Sri Vishakhan Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarane Hoi Bigna Vinashan Anayashe Hoi Nijavan Chita Puran Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse 4, covers two phenomena, sight and hearing, as understood in relation to the universal form, or the form seen as the Purusha. This chapter is called Purusha Sukta, confirmed Purusha. Sukta is a major Vedic hymn. Even though so many Vedic hymns are not recited or not known or lost, this is still commonly chanted. The point in the Purusha Sukta is that life depends upon the Purusha, Vishnu. Nothing works without him. That's a simple summary of it. Now, in this verse, he didn't comment on the previous verse at all, which covers breathing and smelling. In this verse, he's commented on the the word Tirtha, which is commonly understood to mean a place of pilgrimage. But as those of you who may have heard my series of 50-plus lectures on discussing about Tirthas in the course of discussing Vishnu Sahasranam, the root meaning of Tirtha is a crossing place. If you have a shallow river where you can easily cross by walking, you don't have to get a boat or swim. So it's a crossing place for humans and animals. The English word for that is ford. Nowadays, if you think of ford, you think of a motor car. But the name ford is just like you have in English, in England, you have names after various phenomena like marsh or moor, field. So that's one group of names is after phenomena like that. So ford means a crossing place where you can easily cross. That's why some Vedic scholars, having heard of Oxford being the great center of learning in England, said that it's Go Tirtha, because ox is go, ox is a kind of cow, and ford is a crossing place. So they named it Go Tirtha. So generally we think of Tirthas as a holy place where we can go, and it's an easy place to cross over. It means, here in this sense, it means, or it's especially used in the sense of a holy place that can help us cross out of this material world and go to the spiritual existence, whether it's conceived of as impersonal or personal. And therefore, in India, there are many Tirthas, among which Varanasi is the most famous. If you die in Varanasi, then you're guaranteed liberation. And there are other places also. The four dhams are called the Badrikashram, Dwaraka, Puri, Rameshwaram. They all have the same facility, but Varanasi is considered the best of all those places for crossing out of material existence. Of course, the devotees, they are more concerned with serving the Lord than crossing out of material existence. And the dham is more attractive to them, the place of the Supreme Lord. If you die in a dham, you don't cross out of material existence to the spiritual world. You're already in the spiritual world. Of course, it depends on one's consciousness also. So one can die in the dham, Vrindavan dham, and come back as a monkey or a pig or a dog, but in Vrindavan. So that's just a short little added time for someone who's not in the proper consciousness for going back to Godhead. But here, Jiva Goswami says that in this context, Tirtha means the receptacles of the transcendental Vedic knowledge. The word transcendental here qualifies Vedic knowledge, because not all Vedic knowledge is directly or perceived as being transcendental. Much of the Vedic knowledge is generally perceived as being material, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Anyway, Chaigunya Vishaya Veda. And then the Vedas mostly deal with the subject matter of the modes of material nature. And then he tells Arjuna, Nistraigunya Upavarja, you be beyond the modes of material nature. So here the transcendental by actually Madhvacharya especially makes the case that all the Vedas are meant, well, that's said in the Vedas itself, sarve veda tat padam amananti. All the Vedas point to one, they all have one purpose, and that purpose is clarified by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Vedaisya sarveraha vedyaha. Veda means knowledge, and what is the point of knowledge? What kind of knowledge are we talking about? Well, in the Vedas there are so many different kinds of vidya and or knowledge. And peripheral to the Vedic culture there are different kinds of knowledge also. Well, there are material kinds of knowledge. Supplementary to the Vedas, there's knowledge of grammar, there's knowledge of medicine, knowledge of arts, dancing, of construction. There are so many different kinds of knowledge, and there are various mystical kinds of knowledge also for manipulating material energy that in ways which one sees as beneficial to oneself. These kind of vidyas, they come more under tantra, the left-wing tantra, which is used for harming others. A lot of it is used for harming others. But the transcendental Vedic knowledge here, karno disham chatirthanam, it gives the indication that the ears are meant for hearing from persons who, by hearing from them, we will be liberated from material existence. Otherwise, most of what we hear simply binds us in material existence. Okay, let's discuss a little bit. Who's better, Democrats or Republicans? Who do you think should be the next president of the United States? Biden or Trump, if they live? Okay, well, that would be a much more interesting discussion for most people than esoteric discussions of Sanskrit words. Probably most people in this city, they've never even heard of the language Sanskrit. So that seems very pleasing to discuss such things. But that will bind us in material existence to discuss such things. So we should discuss topics about Krishna. Here in the second canto, there's a lot of technical discussion about the the way Krishna sets up this material world, but that's also purifying and liberating. We need to know that. We need to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Srila Prabhupada often said, it's not enough to say that God is great, we have to know how He is great. So a lot of Bhagavatam points to that. The hearing facility should be used for hearing from persons whose words are on the subject of Krishna, or at least on the subject of transcendence. In the subject of transcendence, there are two main divisions, impersonal and personal. Now, definitely we who are in the Vaishnav Sampradaya, we're not interested to hear about impersonalism, but that is also transcendental. Shukadeva Goswami, he himself is a Tirtha. He himself is the personality who, by hearing from, one will certainly cross out of material existence. He himself says that he was previously an impersonalist. Parinishtito, Pinayagunye. He was fixed in the concept of nirgun, of transcendence devoid of any qualities. The material world is trigunya, composed of three qualities, and the impersonal concept of transcendence is of no qualities. But then we come to Krishna, who is Ananta Kalyana Guna Yukta, who is unlimited, transcendental, all beneficial qualities. So Shukadev, he heard from Vyasadeva topics of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, and then he spoke on these topics, and this way he became a Tirtha. He spoke to Parikshit Maharaj. Many others were present also. The most qualified hearer was Parikshit, and others were there who were qualified. Shukadev's guru was there, his father, Vyasadev. Shukadev's guru's guru was there, Narad, listening. But there were many others who were exalted personalities who were not on the same level of being fully qualified to hear what Shukadev had to say. They certainly benefited from hearing him. But even though one may be a Tirtha, someone may be able to speak in a manner that others can take advantage of so they can become liberated from material existence, not everyone takes advantage. Shukdev, his first instructions to Parikshit Maharaj were to prepare him to hear the message of Krishna. Topics of renunciation, of how people in this world, they hear all kinds of things which cause them to be bound in material existence. Apashyatam atma tattvam griheshu grihamedhinam. They don't want to see. They don't want to see, they don't want to understand the real truth or spiritual reality because they are committed sense enjoyers, wanting to enjoy this world. So in this way, Shukadev, he set at the beginning, we'll find at the beginning of the second canto, he set the tenor for hearing subject matters of transcendence. But not everyone is ready to accept that, even if they hear it. They may see, pashanapi na pashati, they see but they don't see, shrinvanapi na shrinvati, they hear but they don't hear. But nevertheless, if one goes on hearing, then that will have an effect. That will, in course of time, resonate within the heart. It may be that someone hears, but they don't accept it. But later, because that has entered the consciousness, later that will again rise in one's consciousness by the grace of Krishna, and one will take it more seriously. There are many instances of people who heard about Krishna or read something about Krishna and they didn't take it very seriously at first. But later, when they'd been through various experiences and their consciousness was more prepared for that, that because there was some touch, then those topics, they again rose within their heart and they acted seriously upon it. A great example here in the Bhagavatam is Ajamil, who was practicing as a pure Brahmin, but he lost it, seriously lost it. But in course of time, he remembered it again. And then he took it very seriously. Jarabharat is another example. He was practically a pure devotee, but he made some mistake. But then again he remembered. So there's no loss in hearing. There's no loss in hearing, even if people don't fully understand. It's not easy for people to understand these topics, no doubt. We're distributing books, but we should bear in mind that it's not easy for people to understand this. Still, people read. They become attracted, they become purified. I remember in this lifetime, the first book I read of Srila Prabhupada's, I couldn't understand much of it, but I could understand there's something substantial there. So then I went to find out more about it. We also need books, putting in simple language, very simple introductory books. I was discussing this once with one of my godbrothers, Kundali. He himself was quite a very influential author at one point. I don't know what happened to him. He was saying that we need books for all different kinds of people, for the different kinds of mentalities. Of course, Srila Prabhupada's books, they're the core granthas, the core books of our sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada, the books he translated, Gita, Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita, these are the essential, central books of our sampradaya. You could also say Shatsandarbha, but that's a commentary on the Bhagavatam, or a systematic study of the Bhagavatam. And then, yeah, there are others, of course. There are so many important books. But these four books from the beginning of our sampradaya have been the central, essential books of our sampradaya. So Srila Prabhupada translated and commented on that. But other books may be there, and there may be other ways of other styles of presenting also. Just like when we speak to people, we meet them here, we meet different people, and we have to speak to them at their level. We have to communicate with them at their level. If you meet someone on the street and they say, "Hey, what's this all about?" You don't say, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya," and start to give them a Bhagavatam class. You have to speak to them in a manner that they can begin to accept. And often if we'll say about God, we don't say Krishna before God, because here in this country, people don't link the two, Krishna as God, and many may not even have heard of Krishna. Of course, in this country, you can say God, at least in this part of the country. In one part of the country, a few years ago, I was asked to speak to a group of newcomers, all youth. I was told, don't say anything about God. Don't mention the word God, because they get turned off by the idea of God. Yeah, I was surprised. But it may be. That was Southern California. And he said, that people think that God, the Christian concept of God turns them off so much. I don't know if it's turned them off so much or they just want to enjoy surfing and sexing and smoking weed. And what a, that is the main religion of Southern California, it seems, for the young people. But anyway, then how do you speak to such people? Yeah, and different devotees are thinking of different ways to go through environmentalism. But different things. That seems to me that the environmentalism mania is dying. It's going down a bit. It's not as strong as it used to be, despite that girl from Sweden. People are concerned, but I don't know. It just seems to me that people are getting fed up of it. But even if you solve all the environmental problems, there's still birth, death, old age, and disease. That's all. It is environmentalism. It's another idea. We just make the world nice, and then we can enjoy it. It's not to the point. Bhagavatam is to the point. Now I was saying about the Vedas, the transcendental Vedas, that which is directly transcendental, begins with the Upanishads. But it's not so clear. Those who have the vision can see. Otherwise, it is parokshavada. It's a roundabout way of presenting. But Bhagavatam is very clear from the beginning. Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. So that's good for Kali Yuga. And we don't have much brain to understand all the Upanishads. And even the Upanishads don't understand the Upanishads. We find in the prayers of the personified Vedas, even the Upanishad said, what are we talking about? We should be just chanting Hare Krishna. We're just wasting our time talking about all these esoteric things. Let's talk about Krishna. Or esoteric in the sense that you can't understand what it means. Some people can understand what it means, but then when they understand what it means, they read Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, introduces topics of reincarnation, Shreyas and Prayas, and all these things come up in the Upanishads, and how it's Brahma Gyan, Brahma Vidya, knowledge of transcendence. But that must culminate in knowledge of Krishna. And we find that in Shukadev Goswami himself. He left home and was wandering, just wandering here and there. No companion, I mean, not speaking to anyone. There's nothing to speak about. If you realize this world is completely useless, then who are you going to speak to and what are you going to speak about? But then when what are you going to hear about? He's already fixed in transcendence. But then when he got the idea to hear topics of Bhagavatam, topics of Krishna. That's worth hearing, and that's worth speaking about. So there is a saying that those who know do not speak, and those who speak do not know. But I wonder about that, because if you speak that means you don't know, right? If those who know do not speak, but you're speaking it, and those who speak do not know, that means you're speaking it and you don't know. Maybe you have to write it down. Those who don't speak about Krishna, they don't know what they should be speaking about. A lot of people are speaking a lot of things, but they don't speak about Krishna. So, on the order of Srila Prabhupada coming into disciplic succession from Shukadeva Goswami, we should arouse people to hearing and speaking about Krishna. that is going on. One of the most beloved speakers about Krishna lives here in Atlanta, Amarendra Prabhu, very much loved and appreciated by people, devotees, who have a taste for hearing about Krishna. But we also have a duty to raise people to that platform. So we have to go out of Harinam Sankirtan, public, distribute these books. We may have to approach people in terms of science, philosophy, environmentalism, so many things, to introduce people to these topics. That will, in that way, we can act as tirthas, helping people to come from the one side of the river to the other. When you're on the other side, then we can talk so many things. Of course, we shouldn't prematurely think we're on the other side. That can also be a problem. So even for those who have taken to Krishna consciousness, we also need to hear basic topics regularly, as Srila Prabhupada spoke on, which we're doing. And after a few years, you'll reach the 10th canto. And there's so much philosophy in there also. But anyway, we have direct talks of Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, coming up in the 3rd canto. The Bhagavatam is like that. There's philosophy, and then pastimes and descriptions of Krishna. Then again, in the 4th canto, we have some of the heaviest topics of the nature of the material world. And then again in the 5th canto, very strong topics of the nature of material world and how the mind entangles us in material existence. The 5th canto ends with a description of the hellish planets. It's not linear in the sense that you take one topic, we finished, and now we go on to another. It's not like that. The sandarbhas are like that. It sets it out systematically. But it's in a way, okay, here's some nectar, and okay, remember about that. Don't forget that. Don't forget that material life is miserable and entangling. So it like this. And even in the 10th, and even after the 10th canto, we have the 11th canto, which is just almost all discussion of philosophy, much of which is already discussed previously, but which is systematically discussed again in the 11th canto. Hare Krishna. That's all I'm going to say for now. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, whose lotus feet are more valuable for us than visiting millions of pilgrimage places. If we hear from Srila Prabhupada, we'll be better off than visiting so many different holy places. You have a question?
Guru Maharaj, I've heard that in Mayapur, because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, offenses are not considered. Is there a possibility of somebody
Someone in not proper consciousness dying in Mayapur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about a special manifestation of Maya there called Prodhamaya, by which people, they're apparently in the dham, but not really there at all.
We see that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur emphasized the reading of Jaiva Dharma. But Srila Prabhupada did not introduce
that. Srila Prabhupada didn't introduce that, but he did say that he wanted to. Jaiva Dharma. He said that all the Vedic literature, especially the Vaishnava literature, should be translated in all languages of the world and distributed all over the world. How many things can you read? That's another consideration. Traditionally, the brahmanas wouldn't read so much as they would have the scripture read to them by the guru. And the commentaries were they're like notes for helping the teacher's notes, the previous commentaries. And then the printing press came, and it changed so many things, the printing press and mass education. And it also changed the guru-disciple relationship because you can read. You don't need a guru anymore, right? You just read. That's what some say. We do, of course, have the practice of swadhyaya, self-study, which is mentioned in Gita, of course. Swadhyaya also, that means revision, going over the topics one has heard. Books may be there also, but books were not very common things. Each one had to be written by hand. So to own a book was not a common thing. So it helped to make the memory better. They have to hear and understand and remember it. And the manuscripts are there for reference. Like that.
Shukadeva Goswami, you know, he said that sometimes he's a parrot of Radharani, and he looked just like Krishna because of his absorption in Krishna. But then, was he an impersonalist, and did he later become a devotee, or was it just like a pastime of his too?
Yeah, impersonalist, and he became a devotee. Yeah, it's like that. He went through a phase. It's shown like that, of being an impersonalist.
But he is the parrot of Radharani.
I believe that's stated in Shastra also. It's not there in Bhagavatam. I first got it from Gaur Govinda Maharaj, and then I checked it out a bit. Maybe Brahma Vaivarta Purana or some. Maybe, I can't remember, but I seem to remember I checked it and saw.
What are examples of other bona fide books?
Bona fide books? There are so many.
Yeah, could you give us some examples, like Coming Back? Is it like
that? Oh, Coming Back. You mean contemporary books?
Just pretty much, like you said, more books need to be written for different people.
Well, there are so many. Devamrit Maharaj has that book. What is it? Hiding in Unnatural Happiness. I read it. It's great. Scientific Base of Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada, he immediately had 100,000 copies printed as soon as it was written. Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness. Yeah. Coming back, and there's that... That Chant and Be Happy is there also. There are so many books, so many topics. Higher Taste, it's a cookbook, but the first part is about vegetarianism and then brings you to the spiritual side, Krishna Conscious Vegetarianism. So there are so many books. Even this... I just gave a talk on that, Forbidden Archaeology. It's nothing directly to do with Krishna consciousness, but it is a hammer for the idea that there's no need for God because everything just happened by evolution. And if anyone cares to follow it through, they can contact Michael Cremo, Drutakarma Prabhu, who goes to conferences all over the world. Everyone knows he's a Hare Krishna devotee because he says. He doesn't hide it from anyone. No, he starts off, talks, and says, I'm a member of the Krishna Conscious Movement. Like that. Good for him. Great. Yeah.
Raj, the last verse of the Nectar of Instruction says that when you take a dip in the Radha Kund, your pure love of God is awakened. We understand it's not a mechanical process.
Dipping in Radha Kund, yeah. I wonder what that's got to do with today's verse. Everything linked to the... Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says you could actually bathe in Radha Kund when you get a spiritual body. That was his. Otherwise, even the buffaloes, they bathe in Radha Kund. Used to be, anyway. Apparently, Raghunath Das had some arrangement made for the buffaloes. And then... I read that in a book by Mahanidhi Swami. And he was saying that, but it doesn't necessarily, that's just for the local farmers. So they were protesting. This is our pond where we, it can be, because since the time the Bengalis took over Radha Kund, since that time the local people have been fighting with them, and it goes on up to the present day. These are Bengalis, what are they doing? This is our land, this is our place. So I don't know exactly the history.
Maharaj, Your Holiness has said that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to, if you want to bathe in Radha Kund, you can lead Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
Yeah.
Jai.
And you know, sometimes you know, we see that there's different speakers. They speak very differently than how Srila Prabhupada spoke.
Well, everyone speaks differently to how Srila Prabhupada spoke.
Yeah, but
because everyone is different. Everyone is a different person.
They may not touch upon the same topics that Prabhupada touches upon. How do we know who's bona fide, who's not bona fide?
Who's bona fide and who's not bona fide? Well, you'll have to see in the spiritual world. If we get there... And see who gets there. But if someone gives a Bhagavatam class and the main subject is who will be the next best president of the United States, then you think, well, probably it's not on topic. That should be obvious. But yeah, we topics of Krishna, they should be suitable for the hearers or somewhat above. A little above is also there. According, yata. What is that? Yata shuta yata mati. As we have heard and according to our realization. Now we're getting into a big topic. We often see devotees speak on high esoteric topics and devotees are eager to hear that, but then we don't see in their practical life that they've even come up to the basic standard of basic sadhana and following principles. I read recently a biography written of Aindra Prabhu, how he had a small group and he'd speak to them on topics of gopis and this and that. But then they would go and play football, which he didn't like. So I'm wondering, What were they hearing? Did they hear, were they ready to hear that or not? So step by step. Ghee is the best food, very nourishing. But if you can't digest it, it becomes poison. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Kesavinash Bhakti Kaswami Maharaj ki jai.